weekend wake up call. Good morning, y'all. Saddle up and join the crew here at Rosie on the House. Good morning. Y'all watch that sun come up over the McDowell Mountains this morning, over the Superstitions. Let's have a great 4 hours together here at my house. Rosie on the House. Let blow, let blow. Arizona Saturday morning. How can you possibly beat this? Got a great show lined up for y'all today. We're all here this morning as usual. Got the whole team, my co-host and son, Romy Romero, who just finished a road trip we'll be hearing about here in this hour quite a bit, in the next in garden and outdoor hour as well. My wife, sweet Jennifer, joining us here this morning as always.
Good morning,
sweetheart. Mike Reesh, our broadcast engineer. We're all here for the sole purpose of becoming your best friend, doing whatever we have to do to bring you the information you need concerning your house, home, castle, or garden, or yard, to make sure you're doing the right thing at the right time of the year and not making mistakes dealing with the wrong people using the wrong products. We're here to educate you. We're here to entertain you. We are here to protect you.
A lot of that education comes from our continued self-education.
Yeah, amen.
We travel a lot during the year to different home shows, expos, conventions that revolve around the industry of housing, gardening, landscaping, and bring back what we find to you. And last week we went to the Heirloom Seed Expo in Santa Rosa, California. And I will tell you, before we get to the highlights of the exposition, you've all heard about the California drought, I'm sure. Drought.
Oh, yeah.
Daily in the paper, yes.
So we drove. My father-in-law lives in a town called Chowchilla. It's between Fresno and Modesto on Highway 99.
Sounds lovely.
It's, if you like almond trees, it's a great place to go look at almond trees. In fact, California produces 80% of the world's almonds.
Did not know that.
The world's almonds, 80%.
Wow.
So when you're headed there, we go up, we take the 93 up to Interstate 40, catch on right about Kingman, and then you head over and 40 dead ends into Barstow, and then you take, I think it's 58 over to Bakersfield, and then Bakersfield up. Well, from Kingman, well, I'll say Needles, because Kingman to the river, it's pretty. It's a nice desert. But once you pass Needles into California, from Needles to Barstow, there's nothing. There's one town called Ludlow, which is a pilot gas station that just, I think they stuck it there because someone realized there are a lot of people that probably run out of gas on this trip, and we can make some money if we put a pumping station right there. And there's not a crop. There's not a rest stop. I mean, there's nothing. Well, by the time you get to, well, let me stop. So we get to Barstow the first night, and then we wake up, and it's Saturday morning. I get on my phone. I open the KTAR app, and we get in the truck about 8:20. And from there, all the way to the far side of Tehachapi, we were able to stream Rosie on the House on our KTR app through the Bluetooth through the entire truck. And Remy, every time you hear Daddy, a T-pair, a T-pair. You look around, T-pair, T-pair. But from Tehachapi down to Bakersfield through the hills, we missed about the last 20 minutes because the connection just it through the mountains, it was so choppy. It was too aggravating to try and keep listening. But so if you're traveling, make sure you have the KTAR app with you. You can catch Rosie on the House wherever you go. If you're traveling outside of the state, if you're in the state, check your local radio listing. We have 6 great affiliates through the state. So you get to Bakersfield, and by the time you get off the mountains and you're coming into Bakersfield, you really hit the agricultural. And there, all the way to Santa Rosa, with the exception of towns, is nothing but field after field after field after field after field after field. And I will tell you, looking at those fields, driving all the way up to Santa Rosa from 99, coming down 101, coming across 152 on the way back and Interstate 5, if you were ever thinking about having your own vegetable garden and you saw the drought and these conditions of those crops, that's about the best motivator there is to get out there and start providing for yourself and having your own garden, because it's a drought, Shaq.
Yeah, that's the breadbasket of America. I mean, that's what, 200, 250 miles long? And it is
Bakersfield to Santa Rosa is 330 miles if you just drive straight. They sent me from Chowchilla on a very, go up here, turn there, come here, avoiding all the Sacramento, San Francisco commuter traffic. Oh. And it was kind of a zigzag I got there. So it was a little bit longer, but when you get to Santa Rosa, that's not even the end of agriculture. It's the end of a lot of big flat fields, but you really get into a lot of the livestock production once you get that high.
So it really is one cultivated field connected to the next for 300 miles.
It is,
and it doesn't look good.
It does not look good. It does not look
a little discouraging, is it?
Well, and then your heart just goes out to the people that are there farming it and trying to work it, because you can tell they are just completely outnumbered by the mass cities. There are signs everywhere screaming, "No train, we need reservoirs. Forget the train." You know, Governor, this. What are you thinking? And blah blah blah. That, I mean, just and join this association. Help this one. Save our food. You know. Feed America.
Wow.
Forget the train. So I don't even know what the train is. I was going to look it up, but I had so much content from the expo, I haven't had time to do the research. But they're completely hands tied because they're outvoted by, you know, LA and San Francisco and San Diego and people that really don't take into consideration.
So one more motivation for starting your own gardening and listening to Rosie on the House at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning would be take a drive to Sacramento. Wow.
It would. And then you get to the expo, and I'll cover this a little bit later. You leave there, and you never want to buy another store-bought boxed food again.
You know, Romy, in thinking about how much effort goes into food and growing food and the farmers and the land and the water, I came across an article this week by Taylor Jenkins. She's an ASU graduate and has a bachelor in sustainability, and she has a regular newsletter called the Urban Farm Lifestyle Newsletter. But the title of the article was Food Waste, What Can We Do? So if we're having so much trouble sustaining our farms because of water and stuff, we need to be more careful about what we waste. And this is a little bit of a negative topic, but we're going to come first full circle here in a little bit. But did you know that 40% of the food in the U.S. is never eaten?
40%?
That would include restaurants, schools.
Restaurants overserve, for sure.
They do.
Well, so, and then you got the fancy chefs that like to put this little doodah thing there that looks so strange you don't even want to eat it.
40%.
Their food art. It's like,
I like the food.
Where's
art?
The meat? Give me the meat and the potato. I don't need any of this little.
Well,
place this here.
As far as households go, we are wasting 14 to 25% of our food. Think back to your grandma, or if you're lucky enough to have your grandma, they don't treat food like we do now. You know, they treat it as something precious. We treat it as, you know what, we've got plenty. We've always had plenty. We don't have to think about this. We can always buy more.
I'm always surprised at how many of the kids' friends that come over to the house shun leftovers.
We live
it's
on
like,
leftovers.
Seriously?
I know, really. How could you? It's just a wonderful way to train your children to be able to eat leftovers.
Well, it saves so much time for us during the week.
Right.
Oh,
if
right.
on Sunday
you bake up a whole bunch.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. In America alone, we waste 36 million tons of food a year. That's about $165 billion worth of food. And if, just think about one steak. Okay, if you think about 1 8-ounce steak, if you waste that, in order to get that amount of meat, it took 6.5 pounds of wheat and 1,200 gallons of water just to produce that. So when you're wasting it, you're not just wasting the food itself, but what all the energy and the resources it took to grow that food. And they expect that the demand to increase 69% worldwide by 2050.
How much?
69%.
69% increase in demand.
By 2050. So part of the solution in that not only is growing more, but also using what we already have. They say if you took worldwide what's wasted, in the land that it takes to grow that would be the size of China.
Which is about the size of America.
So if you planted the entire country of America, that's what gets thrown away annually worldwide.
Mm.
Think about that. So that's enough numbers. But so I just think, you know, we're such a blessed nation, and whom much is given, much is expected. So we need to be more careful and quit being so lazy.
It was always Sunday stew, right? Whatever was left over
you
all
threw it on
week
the counter,
long,
yeah.
Miss Landry would make that Sunday stew, and that was always what we were eating on Sunday or Monday. And then what we weren't eating was either getting canned or pickled or put up, you know, for eating later.
Well, that's a lot of what we're going to talk about in the rest of the show.
A lot of fruit preserve ideas and products were at the expo. It was something Jay and I were talking about on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, just about you're constantly hearing about water conservation. Home gardens, vegetable gardens, rarely get attacked for water waste. But you can waste a lot of water there, especially if you're not harvesting 100% of the crop you're growing. And it is easy to do because you put in three zucchini plants, and for 6 months you got zucchinis coming out of your ears. By day three, you're sick of zucchini. So you end up composting them or tossing them out. Well, that's a lot of wasted water and effort into that. So it's making sure you – and it takes time to learn these. You're planting the amount that you know your family's going to consume, and you've got the proper ways to ferment. There was a lot of fermentation there. They were big believers in the health of fermented foods as well. And it's brought some great entrepreneurs. There's a guy out of – there's so many towns all right there next to Sonoma. But he was really close, and he hand makes this special fermenting lid you just put on top of your mason jar that has this little water seep that works like a P-trap. You know, so air can't come back out.
Okay.
So it gasses out. And so it's a whole fermenter just right on top of your lid. It was really quite neat. So just making sure that you know what you do produce, even if you can't consume it all, and with your canning and preserved efforts, a community garden, a food bank,
goats
your local
and chickens.
Church.
Goats and chickens, right? Whatever you don't eat gets fed to the goats and chickens. More,
you know what they eat a lot of is the plant. We'll eat the fruit off of it, then they'll get the plant for dessert.
Hey, more on heirloom seeds and the Heirloom Seed Festival when we get back here at Rosie on Nass. If you'd like to join the conversation, feel free to give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348.